Cosmo Sheldrake mit The Fly auf Lux FM am Montagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt Cosmo im Privatclub und jetzt hat er es nochmal zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über Kollaborationen mit Tieren, im Speziellen über seine Zusammenarbeit mit britischen Eulen. Wir reden über seine Bobby McFerrin und Beatbox-Skills. Wir finden raus, ob es von Vorteil ist, aus einem endlos scheinenden musikalischen Spektrum schöpfen zu können. Und wir klären noch einiges mehr, bevor wir dann Tickets verlosen. First of all, hello and welcome, Cosmo.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, doing really well.
Cool. Where are you coming from today, actually?
Well, from London.
Oh, right. Yeah. Directly from London.
Via Hamelin last night.
Oh, okay. So you played a show last night?
No, just
traveling.
Just on route, yeah.
Traveling. You just told me that you got six people in the van with you, although you're playing solo shows.
Yeah.
How did that come up?
Well, I just thought it'd be more fun to travel with friends.
Okay,
so I managed to rope a load of them on for the ride. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. And now you're taking them to ice cold Berlin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Congratulations on getting signed. You just recently got signed with Transgressive Records.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I want to know now, how far are you with new material? Because until now, we've just been able to listen to two or three songs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you finished recording an EP or an LP or something like that already?
Yeah, I've just finished an EP.
Cool.
Which is going to be out in April.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, so just finished mastering, mixing, and yeah, it's all done and ready to go. Which
so it's a finished product, as they say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And do you know when it's going to come out?
I think April the 4th.
April the 4th. That sounds interesting. And you just recorded all the stuff on your own? Because I know that you're a multi-instrumentalist. You know how to play so many instruments.
Mm-hmm.
So do you play all the instruments while recording yourself, or do you get some friends into the studio as well?
No, I think all of them actually, me, yeah. Other than sounds, I record a lot of sounds with a portable recorder and then sample them and chop them up and play them back. But yeah, I think it's all me, yeah.
Yeah, cool, cool. And that's another interesting thing, that you use sounds that you found somewhere. It's not necessarily sounds that are a preset in the synthesizer that you bought. You're looking for sounds. I've been watching the TEDx performance, or the TEDx conference performance, in which you used British owls to make crazy sounds with them, actually, and it sounded really good. I imagine you wandering around Berlin maybe tonight, and then are you guys constantly looking or hearing for things that he can use?
Well, I often have a recorder with me, and then if I hear something, I will try my best to capture it. But often I have things in mind and I go and capture them.
So it's
somewhat looking for as well as just encountering or finding. But often just record what I can hear, yeah.
So how did the idea to use owls come up? Did you have a walk in the woods and you were like, oh, this owl has a beautiful sound, I have to sample her?
No, well, actually, it's my girlfriend gave me a picture of an owl.
And then
I put it over my bed, and then she said that she wanted an owl back. And so I then recorded these sounds, or got these sounds, and then made her kind of lullaby of them.
Oh, cool. And then by now, owl content is much more appreciated on the internet than cat content. So I think it's you're right on the trend right now.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, though. So I've read as well that you do give workshops and teach music. What's your approach there? How do you get people who don't think that they can sing or make music? How do you get them to do something with you, make music with you?
Well, often it's first by being silly and just making noises and just exploring and just putting people into a comfortable frame of mind and space, and then just doing things, learning by ear. It's all by ear, and hopefully then just by having enough people and enough sort of time to do it, people do generally just feel that they can sing. And I ran a choir for a while. Well, that was the case. Just people just found that they could sing just by being in a room of people who were singing.
Yeah, I mean, there's people saying that there actually is no one on the planet who can't sing. Everybody can sing.
Well,
you just have to dare, right? You just have to try it out and dare. And it's an interesting thing that you say, that you start with making noises, because once you realize that three or four noises in a row are something like a pattern, and they are music already.
So absolutely, yeah.
It's a good thing to get the fear out of the system of your pupils, right?
No, totally. Yeah.
And you were a pupil as well of Bobby McFerrin. You visited the a cappella master himself.
I did,
in New York City. How did that come up? Why Bobby McFerrin?
Well, he's just always been an inspiration to me, and I've listened to a lot of his music and watched him perform and just been blown away. So he was running a workshop in New York on circle singing, a way of improvising with lots of people just using voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and just did the workshop at the first, the first opportunity I could. Yeah.
And then did you get to talk to him or?
I did on a couple of occasions.
Cool. Yeah. And he's a cool guy.
Yeah, wonderful, really humble, just sweet, amazing, inspiring man.
I saw something like a workshop with him on the internet where he kind of like sang the first two notes of a scale, like la la la, and then he jumped.
Yeah,
he jumped like from left to right, like la la la, for every tone that he hit, and then the fourth tone he was just jumping without singing, and the whole of it was la.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the pentatonic scale.
Yeah, the pentatonic scale. That's how rooted it is in your brain or in the brains of most people, right?
Yeah, it's that an familiar
interesting thing. Yeah, cool,
amazing.
Cool. And what did you learn from Bobby McFerrin? What on your EP, on your new EP, is influenced by Bobby McFerrin?
Gosh, I'm still trying to figure it out. It was so inspiring. There was so much. Apart from anything else, just he conducts himself with this amazing sort of humility, and it's just quite awe-inspiring just to watch that, and not at all arrogant. Lot of it was like that. And then to be honest, when we did sessions with him, it wasn't so much about the music as about just what it means to people in their lives. And he just allowed people to really understand how music had helped or healed or benefited them. So a lot of sides, actually, a lot of sides of the music.
So he's not like the guy who says, I'm the star and you got to watch me and I'm making the music. But he's more like, I'm just a vehicle for stuff that can help you too, which is music.
Yeah, and he brings everyone else with him. Yeah. And creates this amazing space. There were about 150 people there, and it's just some of the energy at some of the points there was just ecstatic. It was
interessant, Also, Cosmo Sheldrake macht selber Workshops und hat auch schon einen Chor geleitet. Und er hat Bobby McFerrin besucht in New York City, um auch einen Workshop von ihm zu besuchen. Darüber haben wir gerade ein bisschen geredet und vor allen Dingen hat ihn wohl auch Bobby McFerrins Art, mit Musik umzugehen und auch mit seinem Stardom umzugehen, beeindruckt. Außerdem haben wir herausgefunden, dass er gesigned worden ist mit Transgressive Records und dass im April eine EP rauskommen wird. Wir hören jetzt nochmal eins seiner schon veröffentlichten Stücke. Hier ist Cosmo Sheldrake mit The Moss. Im Anschluss an dieses Stück verlosen wir Tickets für die Show heute Abend. Cosmo Sheldrake mit The Moss auf Lux FM nochmal. Heute Abend spielt er im Privatclub. Und zwar ist er ganz alleine auf der Bühne. So you got a lot of samples and stuff on stage when you're working alone?
Yeah, I use one sampler and then flip between sounds. And then I've got a few buttons and keyboards and stuff.
The hardest button to button. Your musical horizon seems to be super wide, though, and I've read that you play almost every instrument that's ever been built. How do you restrict yourself when it comes to composing or writing a song? Because almost every musician I talk to, they'd be like, I need restrictions. If I go into the studio and there's more than five acoustic guitars, I don't know how to choose which one I use, and I'm going to stay in the studio forever, not recording anything, because I'm just like, oh, guitar 1, 2, 3, or 4. Do you need restrictions, or how do you
absolutely
work with that?
No, I think everyone does. It's so hard when you've got sort of anything. I mean, in the modern world, there's so many possibilities with production and stuff. But yeah, no, I've tried a few things. I try and limit myself to a few sounds, or collect a few sounds which I think I'm going to use. And then one thing I tried once was baking a cake and then trying to make a tune in the time that it took to bake the cake.
Okay.
And then doing that on repeat and stuff like that. So you give yourself time limitations and then sound limitations. Uh-huh. So that's one thing I've tried.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you're thinking of a sound universe, kind of? And then you build that up with different sounds, and then when the universe is kind of finished, you start writing the song with those sounds.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure. It's different every time. Yeah.
How do you do it exactly? Now tell me.
Yeah, well, often I'll get an idea from something I've been reading, or in terms of lyric writing or something, just from poems or stuff that I've been reading that would trigger something and then lie dormant for a while, and then a few months later it will just pop up, and then it will make sense and connect to another idea I started a while ago.
Yeah. But you just told me that you've used a cactus for the song The Moss.
Mm.
But cactuses don't have moss on them, do they?
No, they don't.
How's the connection between between those two things?
Well, they just make interesting noises, yeah.
So tonight's show, are you going to try out some new songs in front of the audience? Are you?
Well, I try to improvise stuff every time I play. Cool. So there'll be a few that I just make up on the spot for sure.
Oh wow! So we better beware. Cosmo Sheldrake is in town. He might use you as a sound source tonight. Also heute Abend gibt's im Privatclub die Cosmo Sheldrake Show auf Augen und Ohren. Und wir haben gerade noch mal ein bisschen gelernt darüber, wie er sich selber Limits setzt, damit er nicht verloren geht in diesem unendlich scheinenden Kosmos, den er musikalisch beackert. Er kann ja ganz, ganz viele Instrumente spielen und benutzt dann eben auch noch Sounds aus der Natur, um seine Songs zu vervollständigen. Da wird dann halt an Einschränkungen gearbeitet, indem er sagt, ich muss jetzt den Song fertig schreiben, während ich einen Kuchen backe. That's an interesting thing to write a song while baking a cake. Mm. And the cool thing is you have two things when finished, right? You have a cake and a song.
Absolutely.
That's a brilliant idea. So I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you.
Please come back and visit us again as soon as the EP is out and as soon as you play another show.
Shall do.
In Berlin. Cool. Thank you. Und wer heute Abend hingehen möchte zu Cosmo Sheldrake in den Privatclub, der ruft mich jetzt ganz schnell an. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000-9000. Cosmo Sheldrake spielt heute im Privatclub Berlin 2000-9000. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And I hope I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
I hope so. Bye.